Thanks, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you wrote it down and ask that you would teach us from it as we read it. So the reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were there together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Let's pray as we look closer at this word. God, we ask you to speak to us this morning. God, would you help us to understand who you have called us to be, what it means to be followers of you. Help us to understand this in light of who you are and what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, families, they'll bring you great joy and they will drive you up the wall. And so we're all part of families. Some are good, some aren't so good. But families teach us about what it is to love and care for one another. As a family of all generations here at Christchurch, of all ages and stages and walks of life, we learn to live in love and grace with one another, just as we do in our families as well. That we know that family will sometimes annoy us, but that even though they annoy us, we are still called to love them always. We know that family will test our patience and that we'll have to think about others' needs and not just our own. But this is all about us caring for one another in the midst of this. And we know that family will mean that we have to actually think outside of ourselves in this as well. And so for us, as one of our key values that we've launched in our new vision, mission and values, together as a family is a key value for us. So this morning we're going to think about, what does that actually mean for us? What does it mean to be together as a family? How do we do this practically? What does it look like? But why do we do this? And so we're going to start with the question of why. What does it mean for us as a church to be together as God's family, as a family? Well, we are made into a new family in God. As believers in Jesus, we are actually made into the family of God. And so, in light of this, we're actually called into a new way of living. That in Acts 2, as we just had read to us, we are reminded of what the early church was like. That they broke bread together, they met daily, they were connected to one another. They'd eat in each other's homes, they'd meet together out in public in the temple courts. They would meet the needs of one another in this. Continuing on in the book of Acts, we see in chapter 6 that actually the church created a division of labour that they might actually care well for one another. That some people came to the disciples, the 12 disciples, and said, hey, you're serving the Jewish widows, but you're missing out the Greek widows, and we want them to be cared for as well. And so they set up people to help care for each of the widows, the people in need in that time. And so they created this division of labour to ensure that all people were being looked after. They were doing this together as a family. Later on in the New Testament, Paul in Galatians talks about the fact that in Jesus there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, that we are created equal in Jesus Christ. And can you imagine this for a second? There you are, all the social barriers that you have had have been broken down. Slaves are eating with their masters. There is no power imbalance in that they're treated as equals. Jews who had considered the Gentiles, that is, those outside the Jewish religion, they were considered to be unclean because they weren't following the ceremonial religious laws. And yet suddenly what we're seeing in the new family of Jesus in the New Testament is that the Jews are breaking bread with the Gentiles, openly sharing food together. And for the Gentiles who had been hurt by these religious laws and had been kept on the outside, suddenly they're caring for their Jewish brothers and sisters and saying, hey, we love you and we want to be for you and show you Jesus' love as we have it in our lives. And this was unheard of in that time to be doing this. Status dictated so many of your relationships. It dictated where you sat at the table. It dictated who you could connect with. It dictated whether you were invited into the decision-making or not. And yet Paul is saying that in light of who we are in God, in light of us being adopted as God's people, there is no longer that. Actually, we are all equal in Jesus. So this is a new way of living for people to come into. That it's actually saying, hey, I'm going to treat you as a brother and sister in Christ. You are my equal. Doesn't matter what the world says about the status. We are equal. We are one in Jesus. And so I'm going to love you as such. A radical way of living in that time. And then thinking about what it means to be in God's family is the fact that God's family is for everyone. That everyone is invited into this new relationship, this new way of living as the people of God through Jesus. If we look at Jesus' life and how he engages with people, what we see is that he welcomes everyone. It's not the matter of well, you've ticked all the social status, you've ticked all the right boxes, you've got it all together so you can come to me. No, Jesus says, come to me all. I invite you. Let the little children come. Let those who are on the outside of society come. Let me engage with you. That Jesus would eat with the sinners and the tax collectors. The people who by all rights and means shouldn't have been in relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, come and be with me. Come and be a part of my family. That even for Jesus' disciples, it is a bunch of mixed people. That it's not just the educated, but Jesus invites those who weren't good enough to receive formal education. That had to go and learn the family trade because they weren't deemed worthy of further education in the Jewish system. He invited tradies, he invited fishermen, he invited tax collectors, he invited religious zealots, those who were gung-ho for Israel being God's people and building the kingdom of God again in Israel. He invited everyone in between as well, the liked and the unliked, and he says to them, come and follow me and be my disciples. Learn from me, sit with me, grow with me. Why? Because God's family is for everyone, young or old, male or female, ticking all the social boxes or not. God says, come, because I love you and you are worthy. And so if God's family is for everyone, how do we know if we are a part of God's family? If the invite is there for everyone, how do we know? Well, to be a part of God's family, the Bible tells us, is really simple. It's simply to love Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, to put our trust and hope in him. That when we do that, when we put our hope in Jesus, we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. We are brought into the family with the full rights of children in this. And so if we love and trust Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then we are in God's family. There's no getting around that. And what we see as part of that is that we are then given the Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Paul again writes in Romans 8 that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Elsewhere, he writes that the Spirit of God is the down payment of our future inheritance with God. It is the assurance that we are God's children. And that comes as we trust in God, as we look to Him as our hope. That the Spirit at work in us is there to help us then further become God's people, to day by day grow in this, to know God's love at work in us, to see Him leading and shaping us, to see Him equipping us to be God's people. And all of this is in light of what Jesus has done. That is not whether we've ticked the boxes, because Jesus has already done it. That Jesus on the cross paid the punishment that we deserve, that we might be freely in relationship with God. And then He rose again to say, it is finished. It is done. It is complete. You are welcome into relationship with me. And so this is God's family. And so if you trust in Jesus, then you are welcomed into God's family. You are a part of this. If you don't trust in Jesus, don't stress. You are still welcome here. We will still love you and we will still care for you and want to bless you. So this is God's family. This is some of what it means to be in God's family. So what does it actually look like then for us as a church to be living this? For us as a church to be practically together as a family? Well, the first thing for us is this, that if we are going to be together as a family in church, then we need to extend the welcome that Jesus extends to everyone as well. That being a part of this family is actually welcoming people in. Doesn't matter where you are on the journey, you are welcomed in. This doesn't mean that in welcoming everyone in, we are going to be best buddies. If we are a true family of God, there will be a time and times when those in our family will annoy us. That they'll test us, that they'll start to go, how do we actually do this? But actually, we're called still to love them and care for them. That we recognize, hey, yeah, you are my brother and you are my sister, and so I'm going to love and care for you in the midst of this. And so what does it look like for us to welcome people? Well, it looks like us thinking about what makes us feel welcomed in a place or in a group and doing that as well. That we invite people into our conversations. That we seek to get to know people genuinely. That actually we start to ask some of the questions about what makes people stir. That just as our kids were asking what is your favourite colour, it's starting to get into some of that, actually, how do we go about life together? We're getting to know one another. And next time it might be, well, what do you like to do with your time? Or what's something that has brought you happiness this week? It's inviting people into these conversations. It's taking the time to get to know them, to learn their name, to learn who they are, some of the things that might be going on for them. It's remembering the name of the person that we've met the next time that we see them. It's not just breaking off into our own little groups, but actually inviting people to come and join us and sharing and explaining what's going on. Not talking in cliches and cliques that we know of, but in words that actually help us. I mean, do you remember what it was like that first day of school? Or that first day in a new workplace where you didn't know anyone or very few people? The awkwardness that you might have felt, the uncomfortableness that you might have felt going into that place. And yet as people welcomed you in, you began to connect and go, yeah, this is going to be all right. So for us as a church, it's making sure that we welcome people, that we actually connect with them. Not that we'd all crowd around them and be like, whoa, check out this new exhibit at the zoo. But actually, you know, we want to genuinely care for people. That we want to invite them in. That if we've got new people, that we come and invite them to join us. That we sit with them during the service. That we encourage them to be a part of what is going on. That if something is happening or they're looking a little bit lost, we ask, can I help you with that? Helping them to be in this journey together, that we might encourage one another in this. Why? Because as we welcome people in, we proclaim that Jesus' love is for everyone. And it helps us to see God's love lived out in us as well. So that's the first thing for us as a church. That as a church, together as a family, we are welcoming people in. The second thing for us is this. That being together as a family means that all ages and stages and walks of life are learning and growing together. That actually we are a community made up of every generation. That in a healthy family, every generation is learning and growing together. And we expect what is appropriate of the age of that person. See, we're not expecting a five-year-old to go out and earn a full-time wage to support the family. But what we are maybe expecting of them in the family is to contribute in appropriate ways. That around the house, they're picking up their toys and things and putting them away. That they're helping to contribute to the life of the family, maybe by setting the table or, if they're up to it, putting away dishes or that kind of thing. That the older members of the family are actually there to help teach and encourage and build up the young people. That we do this as we delight in them. That as they experience life and go through life, that we would bring them joy and join in their joy as well. That psychologists and counselors will talk about the idea of a circle of security. That for a young person to grow in their understanding and ability to do things, they need to know that they are loved. That the circle of security will extend out as they know that they are loved and can come back to a place that is safe. This is what it looks like in a family to do this. That actually we encourage and build up. That we do the things that will help one another grow in this. That will stir one another to faith. In the reading from Acts, we see this as they do this together. That they are going into one another's homes to eat together. That they're sharing and encouraging one another in what is going on. That for those who are in a season of much with great blessing, they are helping those who are in a season of struggle and with less. That actually they're journeying together in this, supporting one another and growing in faith because they're continuing to think about what it means to be growing in their understanding of Jesus and to be praying together and journeying through life together. And so, as a church, we want to have all ages learning and growing together. Now, it's great that as part of this, we have some of our young people serving on a Sunday, that we see them up the front, they're doing things with the computer as well. It's great that we've got people who are helping them in Christchurch kids to think about what it means to love God and to know God's love in their lives. It's great that we've got people of every generation serving in our church, and we want to continue to see this grow. And I'm incredibly thankful for the way that we as a church serve. That actually we have people who are doing stuff up the front, but there is so much that happens behind the scene as well. That people are contributing in the way they feel able. That for some, this is as much as they feel like they can do is to pray, and that is amazing. For others, it's I've got the physical capacity to be able to do this stuff, and I have the desire to take care of our lawns, to think about what it looks like to keep our building functioning, to lead small groups, to encourage one another in faith, to do hospitality. And so it's about us growing together and doing this, that as we serve together, actually we're encouraging one another. In Ephesians, we are told that the gifts of God are given to build up one another, that we would help encourage one another in faith in this. Other ways that this can happen is by praying for one another. I wonder this week whether you might have a conversation with someone over morning tea in a different generation asking, "How can I pray for you? How can I be praying for you this week? What's going on that I can encourage you in this week and bring it to God for you?" The other thing about us learning and serving together is that it's going to mean for us who are a bit more mature in faith that sometimes our wants and desires aren't going to be exactly what is met in our full church gatherings. That sometimes we're going to have to lay aside our wants and desires for the good of building up those who need a little bit extra. That sometimes the music won't always be what we want. That sometimes the sermon won't really speak to us, but it'll speak to someone else. But as we are together in this, is us saying, hey, I am for you and I want to see the church built up. I want to see each of us growing in God. And so we want to be a part of this together. We want to be learning and growing. Why? Because we need one another to do this. That I pray that our young people in faith would be bringing great joy to us, and that those of us who are more mature in faith might be seeing that joy and wonder and being reignited with the passion for God. And I pray that our young people in faith would see those who have journeyed through life in faith and learn the stickability of faith within that. That they would see people that they can go, I look to them, I look to their faith, and I want to have that too. Why? Because I know they've gone through stuff. I know they've gone through the storms and they've held on, and I want to know what makes them tick so that when I'm in the storm, I can do the same. I pray that for our church, that we would learn and grow together. We would learn from one another in this. And so for those of us who are a bit further on the journey, that might mean that we need to lay our wants and desires down at different times and make a couple of sacrifices to encourage people in this. Now, my five-year-old daughter, Grace, as a family, we will read the Bible together at night. Now, I'm a grown adult. I've been on this journey of being a Christian and loving Jesus and following him for about 34 years. I don't expect that my reading of the Bible with Grace is going to give me all that I need. I have to make time myself to further what I need within this. But even in my time of reading the Bible with Grace, I am learning and growing. I'm reminded of the wonder of Jesus. I'm reminded of the truth of who God is. As Grace asks questions, as we think about what is going on, what does this teach us about God? We start to get different reminders and perspectives and that joy again of what has gone on. And so there will be ways that we do this. Our small groups at times will be going deeper so that some of us who are a bit more mature in faith can be exploring that. But also we're going to be seeking to bring alongside those who are a bit behind us on the journey, those who haven't walked the same length of time that we have, that we would encourage them in this. That we would be doing this in our personal times as well, that even as we're listening to sermons that don't necessarily speak to our stage of being, we're going, well, how does this apply to me in my life now? That together we are growing in loving God. And the third thing about what it looks like as a church is that being together as a family means that we will be a safe community. This year I've been thinking a bit about homes and what it looks like to feel safe at home. Why does home matter so much for us? See, when we're in a family and we're not sure of our safety, then our situation changes from being able to flourish to moments of self-preservation. What do I need to do to protect myself in this situation to keep going? And yes, we'll grow a bit in that. I'm not saying we won't grow in those situations, but our focus is on how do I preserve myself? How do I protect myself in this? Consciously or subconsciously, that's what we do. And if our homes are that unsafe environment, then we are in a moment of, well, I'm constantly thinking about what does self-preservation look like rather than how do I flourish in this. A safe community allows people to flourish because they're not worried about how do I necessarily protect myself in this, because I know that I am loved and cared for and that people are for my best in this, not to hurt me. For the early church to do this, as we heard in Acts about them sharing everything, they needed to feel safe with one another. That for those in need to be able to come in the moment to ask for extra, they had to feel safe knowing that what was being given wasn't going to be asked back for from that. They weren't being given it to hold over their heads and say, well, I gave you that money, so you better help me do this. No, they're saying, actually, we know that we are safe in this because we know that this person is blessing us with this, that we might be knowing God's love and goodness in this season, that when we are in a season of more, we are able to be that generous person as well. That to come and break bread with one another without the social barriers, there had to be a level of safety knowing that the person who was coming to sit next to you wasn't trying to use your gains to be able to get somewhere else. That actually it was about growing together in faith and doing this. So safety in our community matters because then it enables us to actually love and care for one another well. That we would do this. That to be an epicenter of hope, sharing the life we have in God with all around us and seeing them flourish in this is actually being safe. That it's caring well for one another. It's why we have our safe ministry training. Yes, it's part of our legal obligations, but it goes beyond that. Because actually we want people to walk into this place saying, I know that I am safe in this community because they are going to love and care for me and do their best to do so in a safe manner. And yes, I know the training can be arduous, that it's not always fun to sit at the computer and do the questions, but it matters for us because it's saying actually we put safety as a priority for our young people, for our vulnerable people, and for those who are serving as well. That we're not then having to worry about, well, oh, what's Steve going to do in ministry? Is he going to do it safely? We can go, actually, yeah, we know that Steve's going to do it safely. And so we're able to give ourselves as well, rather than going, well, I've got to protect myself in what I'm doing. And so I withdraw or self-preserve rather than flourish in serving. And yet safety in our community is not just about physical safety or safety from harm. It's also the ability to be able to grow in faith, to ask questions, to not have fear of shame or judgment about what we're going through, but to be in that safe space where we can explore it, knowing God's love and growing together in this. That we'd have the ability to sit with the doubts and struggles and not have to spoon feed an answer. That we would be able to ask the questions and live in the grey and not always in the black and white. That actually we would sit with one another in the midst of the struggles and help one another look to God, growing together, exploring what it means. And to not shame one another for going through doubts or questions, no matter how long we've been on this journey. Because love does no harm, love builds up. That being in God's family is actually being family that truly builds and encourages one another. That as an epicenter of hope, we would live this knowing God's transformative love and flourishing in our lives. So as a church, we welcome everyone. We have all ages and stages learning and serving together. And we are a safe community. But what does it look like for us as individuals? Well, three quick things. Firstly, to be together as a family, as individuals, starts with us knowing the love of God. I talked about the circle of security earlier, that it comes out of us being knowing that we are loved, that then we are able to love, that we are able to grow in faith. And so we start with us knowing the love of God, that when we rest assured in His love, then we're able to live it out to those around us. And so we got to do the things that help us to build our faith in God, that help us to be dependent on Him. The second thing for us as individuals to live this out practically is building friendships across the various stages of life. That have we got people who are ahead of us on the journey? And have we got people who haven't walked as far as us on the journey that we are speaking into? Are we learning from across the generations? Can you look at your life and say, yeah, I can go to this person who is ahead of me when I'm struggling or when I need to look for things deeper? And I can go to this person to encourage them in faith as well. That we would be invested in one another's lives, that we might encourage one another in this. And so if you don't have this, then I encourage you to look around at the lives of people around you. That if you're looking for people who are ahead of you on the journey, who do you admire in their faith? Get to know them, invest in them, pray for them, encourage them. And think about who might be coming along behind you that you can invest and encourage as well. When I think of someone who is brilliant at doing this, I think of my grandma. That when she was alive, even at age 90, she would be going up to visit the old people, her words, not mine, at the aged care facility. She was invested in helping them to know the love of God. And yet she'd also spend time with her kids and grandkids and say, what's going on? She would know our friends' names. She'd remember what we talked about last time. She'd follow up on things. She'd create time to hang out with us. Why? Because she was invested in knowing our lives. She was invested in us knowing the love of God in this. And so we need to do this as well. We need to build friendships across the generations. And the third and final thing for what it looks like for us to do this practically is thinking about what makes us feel safe, but asking how do others feel safe as well, and how can I help them do that? And not just asking it, but then actually following through on it as well. I'll finish with this. I love in creating adrenaline. I love pursuing roller coasters, crazy swings. I've jumped out of planes. Now, normally I'm a very safe person, so this very is counter to my nature, but I love doing this. And so I often feel safe doing some of those things. I think about, well, there's safety measures here, and so I'm just going to go for it. Aynie is not so crazy about those things. She doesn't feel safe necessarily in those situations. And so while I feel safe, I have to ask the question, what will help Aini feel safe in these situations too? And that'll mean listening to her boundaries and respecting them. Saying when she says no, that's fine. But it's us thinking about how do we encourage one another in life and growing. Let me pray for us in this. God, we thank you that you call us to be in relationship with you, and that out of relationship with you, we are called into relationship with one another as children of you. God, we thank you that we are brothers and sisters in you. And so, God, we ask you to help us to be together as a family, that we would love one another, we would welcome in everyone, that we would be a community that is safe, that helps people flourish, and that we would have all ages learning and serving together and in growing one another in this. And that God, help us to do this in our individual lives as well. But help us to do this in response to what you have done for us as we rest in knowing your great love for us in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.